a traffic jam. Staring at the faces in a rearview mirror, looking at the promise of the promised land. One kid dreams of fame and fortune. One kid helps pay the rent. One could end up going to prison. One just might be president.
Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Good morning and welcome to the Randy Tobler Show on this Easter weekend. Hope that your celebration of this great day, the biggest day tomorrow in the Christian calendar, is going well. I know that there are a lot of preparations going on, a lot of family gatherings being planned. Hope that you have a meaningful and deeply spiritual time with you and yours. Jerome's over there. As we move along on the show today, we're going to have a lot of fun talking about things that are I think some optimism. It is, after all, after yesterday's Good Friday, and in many of your worship centers, a day of somber remembrance and thanks for sacrifice. I know at our celebration, at our commemoration of what happened 2,000 years ago, we thought a lot about suffering and how to survive the suffering that inevitably we all undergo. But then, of course, we look forward to the resurrection and the life to come. There is a life to come, I think, for the country if we start to tack back to some of those cultural ideas, the Judeo-Christian ones. Don't see a lot of that in all corners in terms of our behavior, but I think that ironically, there are some things, and we'll be connecting the dots on those, going on even across the pond. The recent events that happened in Hazelwood, I think some of the things that we're seeing with the movement towards, I think, more civility in politics. I think the funeral we're going to see today, ironically, after the violence, the carnage that left a family, a young mother and a child, widowed and fatherless up in New York City. But you see the outpouring of respect for the humanity and of an expectation that those who are in power and who have wantonly in the name of politics sacrificed others' humanity, literally. I think we the people are beginning to speak in maybe a different way, a cultural way, that will ultimately hopefully filter through to politics. But we'll be talking about those stories as the day goes on. Of course, the number 314-912-1019. If you'd like to join in on the program today, love to hear from you. 314-912-1019. You can watch us on Rumble and Facebook. Are we still off of YouTube, Jerome? Did you get us thrown off again and we're still off? No?
Well, it looks like for now, at least, we do have our YouTube up. But that's just one of the many ways. We have our Twitter page, we have Facebook, we have Rumble. So you're not missing anything if you don't go on YouTube.
No. Plenty of ways to catch the program. Let's start with, I think, King Charles and the diagnosis that was reported. I think that if indeed that reporting is true, that King Charles has pancreatic cancer, I think that it's amazing. This is how can these kind of things become so public, hit the people of England right in the gut. You know, I saw it reported that he's going to be suffering, or he is suffering from pancreatic cancer. I haven't been able to confirm that, but it appears as though they are, you know, trying some heroic measures. We don't know whether it's going to, in fact, be the they say for pancreatic cancer. Certainly, if that's the case, I mean, then they're making plans for transition at this point. Don't know, though. Haven't seen that confirmed. But when you see that, you know, he's going through chemo, You see that Kate Middleton is going to be getting so-called preventative chemo. You think of all the barbs and the arrows that the royal family takes. And then you think about in your own family, in your own situation, the suffering that sometimes seems overwhelming. It's not one, it's two, it's three punches in a row. It's sad. And I think that makes us step back from some of the hate and some of the vitriol, some of the lies, the false witness that is born by one politician against the other. We see it in our own lives. And isn't it ironic that on this weekend, some of these stories come to light? Jerome, you pasted a story on our show prep sheet about this young lady who, by accounts of her family, the lady who was the assailant in the Hazelwood East event, was actually a pretty good student, apparently, and allegedly had been bullied. And this is by in no way, shape, or form meant to defend what she had. But now comes the story that the family says that this young lady wants to talk to Kaylee Gain and apologize. Interesting story. I mean, I guess we've become so cynical in this time. Are we at a point where we're all suspecting, well, this is just a legal ploy. This is just a cynical play to try to get some leniency, to get Andrew Bailey to back off from making charging her as an adult, as he said, actually on our morning show in Columbia. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? Where are you going at this point with this story? You think it's genuine? You think it's, we could sure use some genuine humility and, remorse. I think all of us in this world could use a little more of that, along with gratitude on the other side.
Yeah, I thought the timing of it all was a little interesting. Again, growing up the way I grew up, when somebody beats you that viciously, nobody comes forward and apologizes. So I don't know. I was in that Easter spirit, remembering the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the example they wanted to live. And so the idea of forgiveness was on my mind, and that just happened to come through my feed. And so I think if they are sincere and genuine, it does not at all excuse the behavior. It was clear from, I think everybody that saw the video, it was clear that the lady that had her head busted against the ground repeatedly was not in a position to be able to defend herself. The fight should have been over. There's no excuse for continuing on and doing what was done. But I do think that it shows some form of empathy with the victim, that they are willing to extend an apology on behalf of the aggressor. And whether or not that's a legal ploy, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not in the courtrooms, unfortunately. I'm not an expert body language reader. But I do think that is something that we don't see a lot these days. And even if it's not, like, the family themselves, I don't believe are going to be in any legal trouble. It would be the lady who actually did the assault that would be. So for the family to offer that on her behalf, I think is a step of remorse, and it's something that should be taken into consideration with, the spirit of forgiveness. That would be my take on it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to think that this country could get back to a place where there is, before there's a rush to judgment, before there's, you're right. I mean, certainly in a legal sense, once, and when a fight is occurring and it becomes a different matter and steps up, and Andrew Bailey has said this, when someone can no longer defend themselves, the fight's over and the assailant needs to back off. Certainly our base instincts will get the best of us. And sometimes, looking inward, look at the mirror, everyone. Have you overreacted? Have you sought revenge? Have you sought retribution rather than justice? Those are two different things, of course. It's difficult not to let those primal instincts boil to the surface, but Lord knows they certainly do. I think we'll just have to see where it plays out, but I find it an interesting story, and we'll have to see. If the law is the law, and if the young lady is to be charged more aggressively because of the overreaction and the overreach, so be it. I guess expressions of remorse and prior history or lack of said And in fact, what was going on the other side of the fence will probably be taken into account when and if there's a conviction and then in the sentencing, right? I mean, I think that's often what plays into it. Perhaps we have some legal eagles out there. I bet we do, one or two or three who can maybe weigh in on it. I'm curious what you are thinking, those of you in the legal profession, those of you that maybe work in the courts and have seen these kind of instances. There are reports that Kaylee Gain is making slow progress. I fear that there will be long-term disability potentially from based on just what we saw and the fact that the coma lasted as long as it did. And I don't know whether it was induced or not. That remains to be seen. We'll have to see. Well, in terms of personal conduct in that whole silo, we'll be talking about Bill and Barack and Joe yucking it up at a big event. On the one hand, and in the same city, Donald Trump consoling the family of the fallen police officer up there. Governor Hochul being ushered out. Well, as she was leaving the wake, where she spent a brief moment, she got a big earful from one of the attendees there. That'll be on our plate when we talk to Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. She's, of course, with the National Police Officers Association. She'll be with us at 8:06. At the top of the 7 o'clock hour, Tim Jones will be with us. And it's interesting. I'm interested to see what Tim says about a story that, Jerome, again, this is an interesting one out of the KSD.com website, reporting on Bill Eigel, who, of course, is running for governor, Senator Bill Eigel, who's quite a firebrand, there's no doubt about it. And Bill, of course, a veteran as well, and has made quite a splash over his push and his absolute line in the sand, non-negotiable stance, it seems, on property tax reform. I think we'd all like to see some of that, wouldn't we? But some among those of us that watch this have said, well, the Freedom Caucus isn't getting their way because sometimes they come off a little too aggressive. And the Freedom Caucus says, well, that's because no one's getting anything done. It's an interesting thing to watch. While the GOP at large takes it on the chin because people look and stand and say, you guys, what are you doing? You've got the supermajority. You got the governor's mansion. What? Why can't you get these things done? And so Bill comes out, and there's a picture of it on the KSDK.com website. We ought to place that on the show page of Bill up on the big screen, a huge screen, and there's a massive throng out there allegedly cheering after he's saying that he's going to call to eliminate personal property tax. Well, apparently there's a different story, right, Jerome?
Yeah, so I was reading through it, and so for context, it's been a popular meme since 2016. It was a clip of some soccer fans watching an amazing soccer play. Now, I'm not a big soccer guy, but they're all, like, this entire pub is just cheering, and they're going wild. And so over the years, people have replaced the clip of the soccer thing with just mundane things. So what it appears to have been was Bill Eigel posted online this classic meme, but it's a video of him talking about reforming, getting rid of property tax in Missouri, and the crowd goes wild, and it just seems like anybody that knows about the meme would know what he's doing. And so one of his political opponents accused him of faking his campaign and reminded him that under the new laws, it is illegal for him to do so, which I think is a little ominous. It's like, I get if you don't get what he's trying to do, it may seem like he's tampering with evidence, but I mean, come on, it's even on knowyourmeme.com. So
but I don't know about that. So that's what kind of how naive I am, Jerome. I had not seen this meme, and I just don't pay that much attention to these kind of things. I should. Now it's another site I need to check. What is it called? KnowYourMeme.com?
Yeah, and it's got all sorts of, like, different templates. Like, it's basically like an archive of all the memes from the internet history. Uh-huh. So what I think it is it's probably an appeal to people my age that would understand what he's doing. But for people like you that are out of the loop a bit, I can understand how it looks like he's falsifying. He's trying to make it look like he owned all of his political opponents. But for people my age, I think that it was directed at us, and I thought it was hilarious. So we'll see how that goes. I don't imagine him being malicious with it, because, you know, from having him on our show before, I don't think he was trying to misdirect people. No. I think he was just kind of having fun with politics.
So this is the kind of deal where you take, it's almost like the meme is a green screen, although, you know, you can see the meme, but then there's a placeholder there on what the audience in the meme would be watching, and you can put your video or a still picture, you can put any kind of content in there and make it look as though there's a throng, a crowd who's going ape over your.
And people have, so, you know, on like those old DVD players, the DVD logo just bouncing around the screen. There was one where they literally put that as the video that the crowd's going wild over. Like they've done edits for the past six or so years, at least, with all kinds of mundane, really silly stuff. So I just think it's a generational thing that got taken out of context. But that's my two cents.
Well, the thing is, so I guess this legislator, Missouri Representative Ashley Aun, who I think is running for office, isn't she? I believe she's running for state office. I could be wrong, but she has she referenced a bill, HB 2628, which has passed the House. It's not yet law, but it, quote, prohibits any person or entity from within 90 days of election. Well, I guess that would be, we're not within 90 days of August, so I don't think we're there yet. Distributing a synthetic media message of any candidate or party for elective office who will appear on a state or local ballot. Now, I don't know. I'd have to think about that a little bit. I mean, if you go to a licensed site or even an unlicensed site, I mean, I assume, is this a meme that if you were to use it or if I were to use it, Jerome, that we might get prosecuted or we might get a letter from the memes lawyer that says, hey, you have to pay me a licensing fee or not? I don't know.
For those that don't assume memes are public domain. I just want to say that much right now.
Okay. So let's assume that I did that. I mean, I don't know. Is that synthetic? How is that any more synthetic than taking a picture online from a publicly available site or a video, what we call B-roll, and then placing your image in it? I mean, that's been done for a long time. We do that all the time when there's a green screen on the back of you, and then, you know, you take an image. I've done that. I used to do a product called the Virtual Checkup, and it had a microphone, and my brother did all the background work, and it had little flashing up as I would talk about a story about this or that. I'm like a reporter, like an anchor doing the story reporting, and the contents is on the background. The bullet points or whatever. Well, that's technically synthetic, right? But I guess candidates can't do it under this law, but media people can. I don't know. I question that. I think that may be a mistake. I'm not sure I'd vote for that. I think what I would vote for is the intent is to prevent someone from doing a likeness of Jerome. If Jerome's running against Bill Igel and saying, hey, Jerome is, put an AI deepfake of Jerome next to a Ku Klux Klan rally. I mean, I get that, because I think there's a different story there if they create a likeness of you with AI. But if it's a legitimate picture of Bill giving a speech coupled with a meme that's out there, I don't know that I want that to be illegal. That's up to their opponents to call them out on that, or the media, you know, whatever. All right. Well, there you go. That's the start to the show. When we come back, Elon Musk, I don't know, this guy is gaining so much stock value in my opinion, just in terms of the fun that I enjoy, get out of watching him on the X, on the Twitter. He found a British comic the other day that had some fun. We'll play that when we come back for you. It is, after all, a joyous weekend, and we'll have a little political and some sardonic joy this morning. We invite your calls as well. 314-912-1019. It's the Randy Tober Show on News Talk STL. NewsTalkSTL.com, a way to find the show, by the way. 1019-941. We'll be back.
Thank God for the daylight. I spent a long time in the dark. Felt good saying goodbye.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
I wanted to play a fun little clip for you from a guy named Dominic Frisby. Elon Musk posted this and thought, he said, yeah, I think it was one of those single word said true. This guy's a British comedian, and it's just sort of a take on our political scene and a parody, a little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of some sardonic humor. You got that, Jerome? Here's the first verse.
Polite and smart and punctual. It once was good to be. you answered for your actions, and a woman was a she. You'd stand up for your people, if needs be, even fight. But now, if you uphold such values, then you are far right. Oh, we're all far right now, we're all far right now. Peterson, Rogan, Shapiro, E-I-E-I-E-I-O. We worship Mussolini, his portrait's in the loft. Must say Twitter, Heil Hitler, we're all far right now. Oh, you say you're in the middle, a moderate individual, a Gladstonian liberal. You once laughed at Donald Trump, you're probably a fascist too.
All right. Well, he's fun. And it's fun. I hope that in this political season, with all the vitriol that has seemed to just infiltrate every campaign at all levels, that first, politicians can laugh at themselves and laugh at, you know, if they're going to laugh at one another, they ought to laugh at themselves. Secondly, I think it's good to take a step back from time to time in the heat of the battle and realize that when the left calls the right far right, and when the right calls the left far left, and when everyone's just trying to, most of us anyway, just trying to gut out a living, sometimes a deep breath and a little humor is exactly what we need. And so it's, you know, it's good to see comics like that doing that. You used to see that kind of humor on Saturday Night Live. It was whether a president was Democrat or Republican, they took shots at both of them and talked about their idiosyncrasies, some of their peculiar characteristics. The same with the old late night talk shows. No wonder people don't watch late night TV anymore. The hatred of Stephen Colbert, who, by the way, didn't he moderate or host or MC the big event the other night with Billy and Barack and Joey? I think so. You know, when it becomes that hyper partisan, it's not fun anymore. So, hopefully they'll lighten it up a little bit. And I mean, I love guys like what's his name? Sean Barish, the guy that does the Donald Trump imitation so well. That's great. You know, there ought to be someone doing that. Well, there are people doing that with Joe Biden as well. And hopefully people can lighten it up a little bit and realize that ultimately, no matter what the politicians do, no matter what laws they pass, if you don't have a moral and I'll put it in quotes, righteous. I mean, I don't think any of us are righteous, but people attempting to be like Jesus and to walk in those footsteps, I don't think you have a country. Forget about borders. Forget about Federal Reserve. Forget about the Treasury Department. Forget about anything. If you don't have people running these institutions that have some sense of moral and scruples, all is lost. And I wonder whether we have that anymore. I don't know. At the various highest levels, what I see, I don't like. Do you? I don't see it. That's why I've always been an advocate, and I remain one. I don't know why we focus so much on the presidential election. It shouldn't be that important. You're who you vote for Congress and Senate, and even closer to home, your state senators, your state representatives, your governor, I think that's even probably more important. Boy, wouldn't you love to see if we could get it down to where whatever tax burden you paid totally would go more in that direction at the state and the municipal level than to the feds, who then take out a large chunk of it in overhead and carve out for bureaucrats that are members of government employees unions. God love you, you government employee union types. God love you. And then there's a cabal. They donate to the legislators, the congressmen, the senators. And then, of course, they create more bureaucracy, more of a need for more of the government union workers. You know how that thing works. They tried to break it up in Wisconsin. There were riots in the state house. Wherever there's been a pushback against that, it doesn't work out real well. But anyway, I digress. There are people doing good things. There are governors. And to make my point, there's governors doing very good things. Did you see Florida Governor Ron DeSantis? Gosh, I wish that guy was a better candidate. Oh, man, do I wish he was a better candidate. I wish his candidacy would have gotten off to a better start. Had they coupled a better start for him with no indictments on Donald Trump, I think we'd be having a separate discussion here. I think that we'd really have a race. But the first indictment with Alvin Bragg and the silly Well, first it was the hush money for Stormy Daniels, you know, and then all of these, the silly Letitia James indictment, one after another. And then, of course, the down in Florida, you've got the Mar-a-Lago, you know, documents case. And then in, you got Fannie Willis going after him. You got Jack Smith going after him in D.C. as well. Had those not come down and DeSantis was an opponent, I think you'd have seen a different race. It'd have been a different primary race. But that's water under the bridge. DeSantis signed into a law that puts to end, or at least intends to put to end, something that just, it just frosts me that in these United States of America, based on property rights, I mean, that's one of the Western ideals the Western civilization is built on, is property rights. And these stories have now come from across, you know, the country, from the West Coast to the East Coast. And we have immigrants making YouTube videos to fellow immigrants saying, hey, I know how to do this. You go illegally across the border. You squat in a home that has been moved. They've exited. It's a waiting sale and it's uninhabited. And you just go and get entry into that. And if you can hang on for 30 days in many jurisdictions, it's yours. I mean, legislators out there, don't be passing bills about memes and synthetic media. Fix that one. There's a man being prosecuted out on the West Coast because he changed the locks on his home when the squatters, I guess, were coming, you know, were living there. And when they left, he changed the locks. He's now being prosecuted. Guys that throw people out who are squatting in their homes. What is that all about? I mean, anyone tell me that. If anyone out there knows a bleeding heart liberal or is a bleeding heart liberal that can justify that, give me a call. And I'll even tell you what my first question is after you try to justify that. My first question is, I'm going to challenge you on this one, liberal bleeding heart caller. Why don't you just give someone the key to your house and let them take it over? Because you're welcome to come over in my house and stay, and I'll rent a Holiday Inn. Okay, I'll do that. And you can take my house. And then I want it to happen to you, and we'll see how much your heart bleeds for these people then. You're welcome to come in my house. I'll make sure you're out by 29 days. But I just want you to know how it feels to have squatters come into your house and take it over under some legal construct that some crazy person, I mean, whoever thought up that law, and anyone who voted for it needs to have a mental health examination. You've got to be mentally ill to justify that. You know, we just were able to close on our house, Drennan Bailey Properties. Bailey Properties did a great job of doing that for us. Trent's a good friend of mine. He's in the St. Louis area. The house sat vacant. I mean, I would go up and mow the grass and I'd make sure the water wasn't running all over the place and, you know, things were okay. These stories were coming out. I mean, I started going up more frequently. The house was on the market for 8 months or so. I don't know. And I got to thinking, my gosh, this could have happened to us. I don't know if Missouri's laws are that way. It's unclear to me. But Governor Ron DeSantis signed HB 621 into law. And he just said clearly, we're putting an end to squatter scam in Florida. While other states are siding with the squatters, we are protecting property owners and punishing criminals looking to game the system. Good for him. And it's so common sense. I mean, this should sweep the land across all 50 states. It's just amazing to me how it happens. The other thing that he's done that's under controversy, and we should discuss this before we talk to Tim Jones at the top of the hour. Tim will be joining us at 7:06. I'm going to have to ask Tim about the Bill Eigel meme thing. That's going to be an interesting discussion because I wonder what his take on it is and on laws like this in general. After all, he's former Speaker of the Missouri House. So I'm curious from a legislative standpoint whether he thinks this will cross the finish line. This bill that this legislator has proposed and passed the House where you can't have synthetic media, whatever that means. And then, you know, I think it's going to be a very murky area and probably very difficult to prosecute or to sue someone for. But this whole issue of shutting down social media to those under 14, that's another high-profile law that Governor Ron DeSantis passed or signed. What does that mean? I mean, is it something that we should really look at carefully. There are people, Jonathan Haidt is one of them, H-A-I-D-T, I think is his name. He's got a new book out and he talks about the rewiring of the brain. And I heard a podcast with him. We ought to try to get him on if we can. In fact, I'm going to see if I can do that. But essentially, his argument is, look, this is as toxic to the brain of young people. That is social media. They're spending, the numbers were astounding. 40 to 50 hours a week. Young people are spending the equivalent of a work week on social media. Now, it's one thing to spend time surfing the internet, trying to find the answer, like going to the Khan Academy. By the way, you homeschoolers out there, you non-homeschoolers out there, the Khan Academy is a great free resource for education. It's like free tutorials on math and science and stuff. It's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with kids spending time on the internet exploring the world. That's a beautiful innovation and revelation to our time. Social media, on the other hand, is probably antisocial, really, at its core. It takes kids away from face-to-face communications, and it really enables them to do asynchronous communication, which is not the way human beings or any primate species, for that matter, most any species in general communicate. Things are done in real time. Now, yes, on FaceTime, but even on Messenger, on texting, it's not synchronous communication. That's a totally different way that our brains are being rewired to be able to ponder the answer, to think things through, to strategize, and to hold back your answer, to not be associated with the nonverbal forms of communication, both facial and body-wise, which is, some say, a larger part of communication, the actual content of the words. That, along with other components, make it a very, very a deep and dangerous pool where denizens run. Let's just put it that way. Why don't we talk about that? What are your thoughts? Should Missouri ban social media contact? Forget about TikTok. That's one part of it. Under 14, under 16, under 18, none at all. 314-912-1019. It's News Talk STL 101-994-1 on this Easter Saturday, on Easter weekend. We'll be back.
There once was a great speaker called Martin Luther King. Said character's what matters, not the color of your skin. But conduct doesn't count now, just your identity. If you should ever question this, you're racist, obviously. Oh, we're all racist now, we're all racist now. Off to the gallows we must go, E-I-E-I-E-I-O.
Welcome back into the program. Tim Jones joins us at the top of the hour, 7:04 or 5:06 in that area. And then, of course, Virginia Cruda, we always look forward to those discussions at 7:45. And at 8:06, we're going to really get into this whole issue with what happened up in New York City. I think it's really struck a nerve with Americans. This perpetrator with 21 priors, violent priors, and apparently the person in the car was a violent criminal as well, somehow out on probation or bond. The crazy bail bond laws that that Governor Hochul has endorsed and that have been passed there in New York City, that's a template for what's happened across the country. I mean, how much are we going to take of people that are criminals? How many crimes, violent crimes, does an individual need to commit before you say they're not rehabbable? They're career criminals. It's in their DNA, sad to say, but we need to protect society from them. I mean, you begin to pinch yourself and ask, boy, I don't know, man, is there something wrong with me? Things seem just so obvious. I mean, at least on the extremes, right? Can we agree that after 12, 13, 14, 15 violent crimes against property, even crimes against people, whatever, where you've taken a proactive action against either the personal or the property rights of another individual, and you've been in and out of the system, and certainly there's rehab efforts going on. It's not that these people are just locked up and nothing happens. You know that there's counseling. There's all the feel good, the crunchy, you know, kumbaya people are trying to rehab these people. Some people can't be rehabbed. And at what point do we just say, no, enough, that's it. Build another prison, not another gravesite. Build another prison, don't dig another grave. Maybe that's the bumper sticker, Jerome, that we should have, you know? Build another prison, don't dig another grave. Perhaps that's what we should do. Start the movement. It's just...
I was going to say, that's exactly when it comes to the idea of being able to defend yourself. You know, a lot of people, the argument is, I would much rather my family see me in a jail cell than a chalk outline on the ground, you know, when it comes to having to be my own first responder. So especially with these big cities, they don't allow you to defend yourself. The only thing that's really going to truly deter crime is if the potential assailant is afraid of the victim. And that's, you know, unfortunate that they're not.
You know, we've talked about it before with your experience in Joliet. And as I think about it in the context of this discussion, when I ask you, why don't people that live around criminals, around gang leaders, around the bad guys, why don't they call them out? You said it's because they're intimidated, that it's retaliation, it's retribution, right? I mean, there's this cloak of fear. Well, what have we come to when the cloak of fear of bad guys is more than the cloak of fear of the justice system? Think that one through. I mean, we're in a funny place, right? I mean, there's something really screwed up about that. And there ought to be such an overwhelming sense of and a deep foreknowledge that, man, if you commit something wrong, you are going to be in much deeper trouble than, you know, if you call out or if you fail to go along with, or if you fail to become a part of a gang operation or a gang, you know, maneuver. I don't know. It's just crazy. Well, speaking of breaking the law, I guess you better not drive through a red light or roll through a red light, or maybe as that yellow turns to red in St. Louis, traffic lights are being installed, traffic cameras, I guess, after being announced in 2023 with a no proposed timeline. City's plan will include technology that will make it possible to identify the driver of the vehicle. Now, where are we on this, Jerome? I know you said this is a pretty chilling thing. Are there cameras actually in place now, or is this a proposal?
So what I was reading about when I first heard the story last year was that they were only going to be putting them in the most violent, crime-riddled areas, and the idea was to stop people, you know, that stole a car or that are like trying to do hit and runs. But I've noticed, because I work in St. Louis for my full-time job, and I do gigs all around the Missouri area as a freelance videographer and photographer. And even in my own neighborhood, I live in one of the safest areas near St. Louis, one of the safest suburbs in the area. And they recently, in the middle of the night, they've been tearing down the old traffic lights and installing these new ones that have all these cameras set up. So being, you know, from the Chicago area, I can tell you right now, there are lights where it'll be green for a while, and you think you have the right of way to make a left turn. You're going to make a right turn, and the yellow light is just a smidge too short. And next thing you know, you're turning through a red light, and they got you on camera, and then you get a ticket in the mail. Wow. I don't think that this, especially from reading some comments from online forums from people in the St. Louis area, the reason why it wasn't implemented sooner was back in 2015, the St. Louis Supreme Court, the Missouri Supreme Court, shot it down, citing, of course, the Fourth Amendment, but also the idea that, you know, let's say your car gets stolen and somebody runs a red light and they speed around and all that stuff. Well, how do we know that you were the one driving? It's unconstitutional to punish somebody that didn't commit a crime. So these ones actually are going to have facial recognition software that they can basically identify the driver of the vehicle and the vehicle itself. And if that doesn't make you think of communist China, who have cameras like that in every city block that can track you from the time you leave your house to the time you get back home, it's unbelievable that's going through. This is not just going to stop and prevent crime. A lot of people are even arguing that the criminality reduction aspect of it will probably be very minute compared to tracking people down that might have an expired license plate or that made a right turn and a no right turn section when nobody else is around, or ran a red light when nobody else is around. And it's scary to me.
Well, and think about it, where this could lead to, Jerome. I mean, as you get me thinking, what if you're okay? So it's illegal to be on your phone and be driving now, right? I mean, that bill passed. Well, okay. Can you imagine the harvest? I mean, my gosh, they could make enough money to cancel the property tax and more than make up for it if they just started trolling these these cameras, these traffic light cameras for people that are, you know, reaching onto the dashboard to touch, you know, answer the green handset on their cell phone because it's hands-free. And maybe they've got an older car that doesn't have controls on the steering wheel. I don't even know how to operate that. I have them on mine. I don't know how to do. And, you know, you're getting what if you're getting a call and you get another call and you get another call from someone, maybe your kid's at home, a turnkey kid, a latchkey kid. And, you know, maybe the house is on fire. Oh, I don't want to get caught by the red light camera, you know, so I'm not going to answer the phone. I don't know. It's intrusion. But you know what? There's a good thing about this. The St. Louis census will just keep going down and down and down. I hate to see it. It's a once great city. But the census will keep going down and down and down. As people say, as you say, I don't want to live in an Orwellian dystopian society. I just don't want to do that. And people will move out. They're already moving out because of criminality. And you're right. When you talk about the lives saved, in the story you sent me from News 4, First Alert 4, interesting. They talk about anecdotes. Police Chief Robert Tracy assured the committee, because it was sort of a split committee hearing, that his department would follow the law, citing his experience from past cities. I think this helps change behavior. And then they talk about someone, there were a Chicago, I guess, two people from Chicago that were killed tragically when they were struck downtown. A mother and a daughter. Last year, 14s died in a crash off Forest Park Parkway. Four other people were injured in the crash. And this is no indictment on the police. This is a policy statement. Excuse me, we need to have our police officers, because of course their ranks are diminished and it's tremendously difficult to keep staffing full. We need to have them in the tough precincts battling against the daily gun violence, the daily shootings, the daily knifings, the daily crimes against property that happen. You know, that's what we need to have them, not sitting behind a computer looking to see if Jerome happened to grab his cell phone or if he rolled through a red you're going down a 35 mile an hour. And we've all been there. You do your best. When yellow comes on, if I can, I stop. Once there's that magic and sad moment where, oh my gosh, it turned yellow. I'm right there. I can't stop in time. If I do, I'll be in the middle of the intersection. You go through and it turns red as your taillights exiting the section. And you know, oh my gosh, now you're going to be under tension. Are they going to come after me? Another idea, before you come after someone who has one of those moments where you're caught in that in-between moment, it's happened to all of us in good faith. Why don't you head down to the border, close the border, stop the violence, stop the fentanyl dealing, stop the sex trafficking, stop the crimes that happen at our C stores. Oh, that's a great story we got about Toshora Jones. Talk about needing a mental health examination. We'll talk about Toshora Jones and what she said about the owners of C stores and criminality going on there. But we're out of time for this hour. When we come back, Tim Jones joins us on The Randy Tobler Show. Stay tuned.